is beginning to rain, rain, rain in the voice of our Father. Sing, whosoever will come drink of this water. I promise to pour my spirit out on your sons and your daughters. If you're thirsty and dry, look up to the sky. It's beginning to rain.
Hello, friends. This is Tex Mars, inviting you to worship with us today at Bible Home Church, coming to you from Austin, Texas.
Hello, friends. This is Jerry Barrett, the pastor's assistant here at Bible Home Church. Please remember that Bible Home Church operates solely through your love gifts, tithes, and offerings. You can mail a check or money order to Bible Home Church, 1708 Patterson Road, Patterson Road, Austin, Texas, 78733, or you can donate through PayPal on our website. Don't forget to send in your prayer requests as well. We will be happy to add you to our prayer list, and we greatly appreciate your prayers for us. This week, we will begin a new series, Only Believe. We pray that you will receive a blessing from Pastor Mars's message. Up next is Elvis Presley with Only Believe, after which we will begin Pastor Mars's sermon.
Today we're going to be looking at, I'm telling you, a topic so mighty, so incredibly important. You've got to say, you just get your chair and pull it up close and get everything away from you that would distract you and listen very closely today. Because I'm going to tell you how to totally cast out fear in your life. No matter what's happening to you, no matter your current circumstances, whatever is troubling you, whatever has befallen you, whatever you think may happen to you, I'm going to tell you how you can be freed. You can be another man. You can become a new creature. I mean, you can totally have confidence in your future. The title of this talk today is Only Believe. Only Believe. You know, there's so many Bible stories that talk about fear and people trembling and so many people worried about what's happening in the world. And listen, this world is a wicked place. Wars and rumors of wars constantly. Diseases, plagues. We've all got enough to worry about, don't we? Whether we're going to have a job tomorrow, whether the stock market's going to fizzle out and we're all going to be broke and our retirement may be gone and we don't have enough money for food, and who knows what's going to happen to you and I in the world? Are you going to be able to even get by? I mean, you got a family. You can certainly have your wife or your husband. You got yourself. What are you going to do? I mean, I was flipping channels the other night, and there was this old police show on. I don't watch it much, but it was sort of the music sort of grabbed me a little bit. It was about a police, you know, about the police. It was, I guess, real life police. And the voice said, bad boys, what you going to do? What you going to do when they come for you, bad boys? And I thought about that. Bad boys, what you going to do when they come for you? Well, sometimes they come for the good boys and girls, don't they? They do. Well, what are you going to do, friends? Can you have confidence? Do you have enough strength in yourself? You know, many, many years ago in this ministry, they still asked me. They said, Tex, why is it you haven't been arrested? Why aren't you in prison? Why haven't you been killed? I mean, the topics you covered and the people, I mean, you know, you're so despised by so many for just telling the truth. What are you going to do? Well, I'm going to keep telling the truth. Therein, my friends, is my protection, you see. I know of so many people. I'm not going to name their names because some of these people I love very dearly. They're what you might call conspiracy theorists. I call them conspiracy scientists, of course. And they're dead now. Their ministries have passed away. Some of them committed suicide, the authorities say. But did they? But somehow or other, they got all wrapped around what was happening, and they vanished from the scene. I could name dozens of people that had ministries, and they're no longer around. You know many of these folks. But we're here every day, 7 days a week, doing what we're doing. We have no fear. And it's not because I'm brave. Oh, I'm not so brave at all. It's not because I'm the Iron Man. I'm one of these superheroes. No, sir. Not me. I'm a little bit old. A little bit overweight, quite a bit fragile. I don't think I can last 2 minutes in a fist fight with anybody. I'm let's just say I'm past 70 years of age. I don't think I could go like I used to when I was in my 20s. I felt like I was Superman back then. Well, I don't feel that way anymore, but you know, I still know something. Whatever happens to me in this world, I have, well, a bodyguard. Man, he's big. He's strong. He's tall. He's muscular. And he uses supernatural powers. Now, he is a superhero. And I call him Jesus. And he's never failed me. I had a man call me some years ago. He was an author, a well-known author, published a number of books. And we got to talking, and he said, Tex, I'm not a Christian. I said, well, you could be, you know, and God would like you to be a Christian. And he said, no, he said, and then he said very, very sadly, and I felt so sorry for him. He said, you know, I've tried to turn to God and obey God, but God hates me. I said, no, God doesn't hate you. Where did you get that? God hates you. He said, I'm telling you, no matter what I do, when I try to be a good Christian, when I try to be a Christian, that's what he said. I've tried before. I've tried to pray, but it doesn't work. I've tried to read the Bible, but I can't. There's some kind of a roadblock. God hates me. I said, no, God doesn't hate you. And I chatted with him another 30, 40 minutes or so, and I assured him God didn't hate him. God loved him. God wanted him to be in his kingdom. He says, I wish that were so, Tex, but I just know it. He says, whenever I try to get close to God, everything goes bad. My books don't sell, or I'm disinvited to some place, and it seems like I'm punished when I try to become a Christian. I said, well, there you go. It's working. The devil's after you. That's understandable. When you turn to God, the devil says, well, this is my last chance to get him or her. My last chance. I better get in there with all my strength and energy and all my reinforcements. Try to turn that gentleman. Try to turn him around from God. As that's what's happening. But you just persevere. Ask God's help. And he just sighed. He was determined that God hated him. He was just determined, and it wasn't long till a phone call came into our ministry, and they said that he was dead. He'd been found dead, shot. He killed himself. He committed suicide. He said God didn't love him, God hated him. He killed himself. Now, folks, I don't know your circumstances, but I'm here to tell you that poor man was wrong. You need two words in your life. Just two words. Only believe. Only believe. Now, we're going to talk about the Bible today. This could be the most important talk that we've ever had. You and I, we're friends, aren't we? You know, we're friends. I feel we're friends. We've been around this ministry for well over 30 years, and some of you have stuck with us that long. Some of you just found out about us here. But, you know, we're friends, aren't we? Aren't you my friend? I think you are. I can share with you. I'd love to hear back from you, by the way. It may inspire me. It may encourage me. Now, I'm not going to kill myself if you don't write me. I'm telling you, but I'm not going to kill myself because I do believe. I don't have any reason. I have reason to go forward. I'm being victorious. I'm a victor. I've got strength. I've got special strength. I'll tell you about it here pretty quick. But I want to take you to the Bible, to Mark chapter 5, verse 22. It seems that Jesus was preparing to preach or preaching one day, And we read, "And behold, there cometh one of the rulers of the synagogue."
Ooh.
One of the rulers of the synagogue, Jairus by name. And when he saw him, that is, he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. This is important, folks. This is a religious man. And when he saw Jesus, something inside him said, "This is you better fall at your feet and worship him." Can you imagine one of the rulers of the synagogue? 23 says, "And besought him greatly, saying, My little daughter lieth at the point of death. I pray thee, come and lay thy hands on her, that she may be healed, and she shall live." Now let's think about that man's circumstances. His daughter was very sick. I don't know what disease she had. She was very ill. She was going to die. Any moment, she was going to die. This guy must have been desperate. I'm sure he had been at the synagogue. He was one of the rulers. And he had heard all the people there say, "Oh, that Jesus is a fake. That Jesus, he's a false Messiah. That Jesus, he ought to be crucified. That Jesus, he's this and that and this and that." But when he saw Jesus, he fell at his feet. And he asked Jesus to lay his hands, to come to his house and lay your hands on my daughter and she shall live. He didn't say, "Maybe she'll live," or, "I want to see if you can save her," or, "At least come and pray for her," or, "Maybe come and visit us and comfort us during her funeral." He said, "If you'll come and lay hands on her, she shall live." Only believe, my friends. And Jesus went with him, and much people followed him and thronged him. Jesus went with him. But there were a lot of people there, and he had other people pressing him. In fact, there was a woman there that pressed him, and he had the crowd was so big that he didn't even know who had touched his garment. As he walked by, some woman reached up and touched his garment. He was on his way to this little girl. The man, the Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue, the leader of the synagogue, had said, "I know she'll live if you'll just come and come and be with her, touch her, lay your hands on her." But the crowd was so big he couldn't get there very fast, and suddenly he felt something touch him. It wasn't the perception; it was something in his being. Oh, Jesus knows when you reach out to him. This woman reached out to him, and in her mind she said, "If I can just touch his garment, I'll be healed too." She had faith. Verse 28 says, for she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Now think of it. Jairus was saying, "If you'll come and lay hands on my daughter, she will live." And on his way to the little girl, another woman comes up and Jesus sees her. Supernaturally, he sees her. He doesn't know who touched him. And they didn't really touch him. They just touched his clothes, his garment, a little bit of his robe. How would you even know the big crowd was there, that anybody had touched you, that anybody needed help? But she said, "If I may touch but his clothes, I shall be whole." Only believe. Oh, my. Now, I want you to see what happens to these two people. They had different circumstances. One of them probably was very rich. He had his little girl. I mean, what did his wealth mean? The Bible says, what does it matter if you own the whole world but lose your very soul? This woman, I don't know what her circumstances were either, financially and all that. But, you know, it didn't matter. In either case, it didn't matter.
One had a sick little daughter, and one was sick herself. It says in verse 25, let me tell you about the condition of this woman. And a certain woman, which had an issue of blood, probably leukemia, some terrible disease of her bloodstream, 12 years she had had it, says here, and had suffered many things of many physicians, and had spent all that she had, and was nothing bettered, but rather grew worse. The doctors took her money. She went from doctor to doctor, getting this procedure, that procedure, and nothing happened, nothing helped. You read about people in the newspaper all the time. They have leukemia, they have cancer, they have some horrible disease, and nothing works. Well, they hear about some clinic down in Mexico or over in Jamaica. Maybe they'll go there. Maybe they'll be saved if they go there. And they go and they spend more money and they have nothing from it. She was not bettered. She grew worse. But when she heard of Jesus, she came and touched his garment. I suppose this was her last chance. She spent all the money she had, and then nothing had happened. She was just sick. And of course, it was the last chance for the little girl too, as we shall soon see here. Verse 30 says, and Jesus, now he was on his way to see Jairus' daughter, right? But this woman intervened. And Jesus, immediately knowing him in himself that virtue had gone out of him, turned him about in the press, that's the crowd, and said, who touched my clothes? And his disciples said unto him, thou seest the multitude thronging thee, and sayest thou, who touched me? You know, you see this crowd, and you ask us, who touched you? Everybody's trying to touch you, I suppose they said.
If you're thirsty and dry, look to the sky, it's beginning to rain.
You've been listening to Pastor Tex Mars and Bible Home Church. Please join with us in worship next week as we continue to honor the remarkable Word of God.